to the Digital Dialogue Podcast. My name is Alan Gorky. I'm here with Chris Long and Ryan Wetzel. And this is the first in a series of podcasts we're going to be talking about the topic of digital dialogue. And today we want to say, what is digital dialogue? And what are the excellences that we want to cultivate in our students and in ourselves as we were kind of planning this before the podcast? And I think those are the main topics we want to talk about for the rest of this podcast. Chris, why don't you talk a little bit about your faculty fellow position here and maybe your academic background, and then what maybe the three of us are bringing to the table. We'll hit Ryan, and then I'll go.
That's fine. So my name's Christopher Long, and I am an associate professor of philosophy here at Penn State, and I am currently a faculty fellow for the summer here in ETS, and I'm working on a project related to the nature of Socratic politics, which I'm calling Socratic Politics and Digital Dialogue. So one of the things we thought we would do is have a podcast and have a discussion about what is digital dialogue and what we mean by that term.
Yeah.
And we want to sort of focus this not so much on the practices of how to create digital media and that sort of thing, but what kinds of virtues or excellences are involved in the practice of dialogue through digital media. So,
So what would you say an example of an excellence is in some other kind of practice?
Well, I mean, traditionally, the ancient Greek ethics sort of focuses on the excellences of courage or practical wisdom or temperance and these sorts of things. And those are sort of ways of being in the world that are able to sort of navigate between two extremes. Ultimately, these are the sort of the Aristotelian model for thinking about this. So the traditional virtue of courage, for example, would be a mean somehow between being too audacious and being too cowardly. Right? Now, exactly what that means is context dependent, and so that's part of the beauty of a virtue ethics, is that it's not driven by principles that are rigid and firm. It's driven by experience and by context. And
yeah.
So what the context we want to think about that is the context of dialogue in the digital world, and what are the sorts of things that we want to cultivate in our students and in ourselves to facilitate genuine dialogue that will really sort of press us in the direction of in improving the world and making things better. So,
yeah.
So those are the sort of things that I want to think about, and using sort of the Greek model of thinking about virtues to do that, I think will be important. I want to be careful. Maybe we can talk about this as we move forward about maybe using the vocabulary of excellences rather than virtue, because virtue sometimes strikes people as so sort of related to chastity and all these kinds of all these kinds of things, but
kind of a superiority thing versus a practical You mentioned habits before.
Exactly,
I think that's,
and habit too is a kind of problematic term, because we often think of habits as something that you learn by rote. You know, that you sort of whip yourself into, train yourself to have good habits. And there's a dimension of that in Greek ethics, but it's really a habit for Aristotle, for example, is an active condition of the soul. It's not just about being trained to do something. It's about actively taking over certain kinds of ways of responding to situations.
Right.
And so that's really what I want to think about. What kinds of how can we actively cultivate good habits or good ways of responding to situations online and with one another digitally.
Fortunately, this really clicks with me, because I live with a guy who has an undergraduate degree in philosophy. So, I think he took one of your classes, actually.
Oh, okay, great.
Ryan, do you want to talk about kind of your background and where you're how you're approaching this and your participation on the team?
Yeah, my name is Ryan Wetzel. I'm a multimedia specialist within the Digital Commons. And my background is in digital video and media production. So what I'm bringing to this particular team is a knowledge of various types of digital media creation and where the type of media can be published on the internet, and the various places that it can show up and where communities can interact with it. Mm-hmm. So I'll help take a lot of these ideas and push them into one direction or another, and make sure that the podcast can interact with the blogs, and YouTube can interact with everything else, and then it's all meshed together as one unified group.
One thing that's really interesting about what you're bringing to the project is, and it relates to the question of what is digital dialogue, is the notion that we want to explode the meaning of dialogue beyond just the linguistic or the verbal.
Yeah.
Right? So just beyond, let's say, the spoken word or even the written word, to think about images and the way images operate and the way videos can open up conversations that are beyond the scope of what we would normally think of as dialogues in a traditional sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because I mentioned before I've been taking these data analysis classes, and I took one that was about qualitative data and analyzing dialogue. But, you know, if you see it written, you lose some of the meaning. If you hear it spoken, it has, I mean, there are different emphasis and accents and pauses and things that you kind of read into it and attach additional meaning. But I think what we lack is the ability to really, like what we tend not to do because it's difficult, is really analyze things like photographs for what meaning people are trying to express with the photograph itself, because we always try to break it down into words and phrases and quantify things, but it's so hard to do that.
Right. Well, we talked a little bit about that in the grassroots video hot team that we were all on, because one of the things that I was struck by is the way in which, you know, video really pushes you beyond the conceptual apparatus that comes with language.
Mm-hmm.
So it opens up a new way of speaking, if I can still use metaphorically in a certain way. It's a challenge for me, because in philosophy, and when you're educated in philosophy, you're educated in how to read texts and how to interpret texts and how to use words to uncover meanings. And so what do you do when you want to introduce the picture images or videos, and how does that all play into the question of digital dialogue? But I want to, at least for the sake of this podcast and for the sake of my project, want to have a very expansive conception of dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So dialogue is what goes on as we encounter one another through digital media and otherwise.
Yep.
So we're going to focus on digital media, but I would assume that some of the excellences we're talking about and some of the other things we're talking about will apply to, you know, our relations in our lives in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to the hot team for a minute, because we had meetings. The meetings weren't the same as what ended up in the white paper, and the white paper wasn't the same as what ended up in the video that we produced.
Right, right.
So it's almost like we had three different forms of communicating with each other and with the public. And the tone, the content, all of those were different.
Right.
And, you know, why do you think that is? I mean,
how do you think
that by trying to make the video, that really changed how we thought about what we'd already written? That's, I guess, a hint where I'm coming from.
Well, I guess this is something we also have talked about before a little bit, is the way in which the content of a discussion is determined by the media through which it is articulated in many ways. So if we're going to sit down and write a paper, we're doing something very different than we are when we sit down to have a podcast, or when we try to create a video. That's something different. Blog posts are different from tweets, and different from writing essays. And so I think one of the things that we're maybe invited to think about is the way in which each one of these kinds of digital modes of expression transform the content and call forth a need for us to think differently about how we're engaging one another through that medium.
Yeah. I know you've mentioned before about how things also change depending, you were talking before about Socrates and whatever he went to different audiences, how he changed his message, he changed his the language he used, the method he used to engage people.
Right.
And I think we're encountering the same thing, because even last week we were talking about how the blog is going to have, or you might have different blogs and they might have different audiences, and YouTube is going to reach one area, and we only want that to be 3 minutes long, but the paper could be two pages long.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think as I think about this project's A Socratic Politician in Digital Dialogue, I'm being forced to think about the way in which different modes of digital media open up new possibilities and sort of make me or make us have to speak in different kinds of ways. So, and I think that's good because, you know, we train ourselves in philosophy to speak to a certain kind of academic audience, and that doesn't always resonate with a more popular audience, let's say. So one of the reasons why I want to focus on the Socratic practice of politics is because Socrates did go out and talk to, let me put it this way, that Socratic politics didn't begin and end with the Greek assembly. In fact, he insists that he's really not interested in that kind of politics. He's interested in the kind of politics that happens between people when they encounter one another.
Right.
And so I want to really affirm that, and I want to say, look, when we encounter each other in person, in even our most intimate relations with one another, there's a kind of political dynamic that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk to one another on a podcast, or when we blog, when we articulate meaning to one another, there's something political at stake there, and I think Socrates was tuned into that. And I think what I hope to do is show, you know, one aspect of what I want to show is how Socrates does speak differently to different people. He doesn't have one mode of relating, and it's vexing to a lot of philosophers who try to distill the Platonic theory out of this dramatic figure of Socrates that appears in the dialogues, because, you know, we philosophers have been trained to try and systematize and organize, and Socrates is a bit recalcitrant to that. He doesn't really go quietly into those systems and those categories that we might want him to. So I want to affirm that. So, I think we could. I mean, we need to be talking and thinking about how we say different things and we relate differently to different people. And you know, what's the impact of that? And
So getting down to our first question, what would you say then is digital dialogue?
Well, I mean, I guess
to drop the bomb.
Right,
not a loaded question.
I mean, I think we have in a certain way been talking about it. I mean, it's sort of the digital aspect just points to the fact that these encounters are mediated by a digital medium, whether it be sound, file, as now, or a blog post, or a video, or an image of some kind. Mm-hmm. But the underlying phenomenon is dialogue, and so I want to affirm that and think about how is what we're talking about really dialogical rather than, let's say, a certain kind of marketing or a certain kind of dissemination of ideas in a unidirectional manner.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that has powerful, a powerful impact on what we mean by politics, but I also think as an extension of that, what we mean by pedagogy and how we administer our institutions and all sorts of things. So.
Yep. And I also think that through this podcast, you also wanted to reach out to the other faculty fellows, other people in the learning design community, other people at other institutions, and basically invite comments, invite other people that contribute their ideas around this idea of digital dialogue and the excellences that, that we want to
cultivate.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, I mean, I it's funny because we keep going back on. I want to use these specific words, cultivating excellences, rather than teaching virtues. Right. I want to do that because of the things that I talked about a little bit earlier about the idea that virtues are not just about being a virtuous, a good person. It means it's about a sort of active way of relating to others, I want to cultivate rather than teach, because we're not habituating and training.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to think about what are the things that we want to take ownership of ourselves and embody in our.
Right.
In
Which
our
gets homes. Back to your topic about habits.
Right.
These aren't rote things that will be the same for everybody. The other thing that I find interesting about this threesome here is that my background is in, I was a technologist for a long time, and I'm getting my PhD in education your background's in philosophy. Ryan, yours is in, you know, social media, communications, audio, video, that sort of thing. But this is a common interest of all three of us. And I was talking about your peers, but there's also your peers who deal with things like a Econ 2 professor who wants 250 groups to just descend and make video.
And no problem. And they and they come through and they do it and they manage it. And it's a few days of intense busyness. But they all manage to come up with some sort of story or dialogue that they want to have with each other to talk about these principles. And they get through. And the media is actually quite useful to convey what they want to talk about. So.
What kinds of things do you experience and them experience them learning in an assignment like that? I mean, how do you see them growing? What kinds of things do they learn in that process?
Well, and for me, it's interesting to see how that's different than them just writing a paper, because there's like some creative elements in there too.
There's a creative element. So where they end up, initially they're very apprehensive, whether they don't want to be doing the assignment. Maybe they think it's stupid, or they don't know what they should know for the class, or they don't feel comfortable around computers, whatever it might be. But there's always that initial apprehension. But then once they get into it, and this happens 99% of the time, they learn that the computer's not scary, that they actually know more about economics in this case than they thought. And, hey, they're not writing a paper, and that's actually pretty cool. They start having a lot of fun with it, and they start getting really creative, and they have all these ideas, and they have music they want to incorporate, and they get more out of it. But your question about how do I see them learning how I see them grow in it? What I see is a very, I guess, sort of practical linear growth in that I'm introducing them to a program, probably iMovie on the Mac, that they're not used to. And I'm watching them be really hesitant to even click anything to 2 hours from now, basically mastering the program and having all the confidence in the world to click through it. So,
but see, I mean, that's a very interesting, I mean, that's an important skill, so, right? So what you're teaching them in that context at that moment is the skill of how to use iMovie.
Right.
And that, I think, is in some ways dialogical, but it's often very unidirectional because they have to know where certain functions are and they have to learn certain things. Once they have that, then they have the tools to do the real learning,
the real learning,
which I think in an assignment like that, from my perspective, what's most interesting about it is the way in which students take ownership of their own project and become, you know, actively engaged in their own education. And that's where I think there's all kinds of power in these different sort of modes of digital expression to really get students to buy into the content. And recognize that they themselves can, you know, produce and articulate and speak and say something important about the topic.
Yeah, they're definitely learning way more than they think they are by the way they choose to construct their message and convey it to others. That they're making all of these really strategic choices about how to talk about whatever the assignment might be, and that helps them later on to think about how they're trying to get their message out there. And that's something I don't think is immediately realized, but it happens every single time.
Yeah, I mean, it seems in some ways that what the assignment has done, if it's done properly, has opened up a space of dialogue between the students and the content, if not the professor.
Sure. Right?
So that they're thinking about how do I... First of all, I have to understand this content. Then I have to figure out how to present it in a coherent way. So there's all kinds of levels that they've understood something beyond what they might have gotten by just reading it out of the textbook.
Yeah, the name of my blog is Hear One, Do One, Teach One, because it's, you know, you hear it, like you get these concepts from microeconomics, then you practice them, you do something with it, and then you have to convey it to somebody else. And I think that's, like, you learn so much in that last step.
Right.
And I think that's a lot of what these students are doing. They're taking one concept and learning it really in depth. And then understanding, like really understanding it. There's initial comprehension, but there's really getting it to stick. And I would almost, you know, guarantee that those students are going to understand that one concept so much better than they did practically anything else. They're going to retain it so much longer.
Right.
There's also the dialogue that they're initiating with each other.
Exactly.
Because I think they're using YouTube in that case.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So everybody in the world technically can see what these assignments are.
Right. By the way, just strikes me that one of the things we have to attend to then when we talk about dialogue in this context is the way in which dialogue is always, you know, plurivocal. That is to mm-hmm. say it always is operating on multiple levels and is infinitely complex in that sense. So a discussion that they will be having with the content, with the teacher, with one another as they build the project, with the computer as they try to figure out how it operates, then with one another maybe digitally through YouTube and through digital responses. So there's all kinds of levels of dialogue that are happening there, each one of which is dynamic and important to think about.
I forget what I was going to say now. But the one thing that occurred to me while you were saying that is Lawrence Lessig does a lot of his presentations on remix culture.
Right.
So it's almost like a dialogue that they're having with the past as well,
right,
by being able to take these old, like, 1950s training films
right.
and then remix those mm-hmm. into new media.
Yeah. I mean, and in fact, in some ways, I often think about what Lessig talks about when I'm just doing a very traditional academic journal article or writing an academic book. What I'm doing is entering into a dialogue with my predecessors,
uh-huh.
and be they the ancient ones or the commentators on those texts, or my contemporaries, and trying to press the discussion forward in a certain kind of direction. So, I mean, I think that's, you know, we use footnotes and things to make sure we're doing that by giving credit where credit's due.
Sure.
Right. But, you know, that's something that I think is in one hand, the dynamic nature in which it's happening online is new.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what part of Lessig's point is that this has been happening, you know, for a long time.
Well, we have a few more minutes left. Do you want to talk about excellences?
Yeah, actually, I think maybe we could end by with a kind of invitation.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we want to try and do with this podcast and with this project is open up a dialogue. And so maybe we could end with an invitation to ask people to think about what the excellences of dialogue, of digital dialogue, might be. And then what we were thinking of doing is seeing what kind of responses we get. I think we have some ideas of our own about what kinds of things we might include. But having a discussion over the course of the summer about some of these excellences and what they might mean and how they relate to dialogue, how they relate to politics, and how we should be thinking about cultivating them in ourselves and in our students.
Yeah, that sounds good. I think one thing that might help for people who might be a little intimidated by the philosophy background, is to tell a story where they saw something like that just come into being. Like, that's the reason I brought up this Econ 2 project, because I think in that case, you know, I don't want to say creativity is a excellence or anything like that, but there's definitely things that we think about that make those projects more interesting. They make the learning more likely to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, so I mean, I would say something like, we talked a little bit about this, something like a certain kind of openness,
yeah.
right, which would maybe go along with creativity, but an openness to new things, an openness to the ideas of others.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That might be one of the excellences we kind of talk about. What does openness mean? What does it mean to be too open, be uncritically open? What would it mean to be not open enough, right?
Of Twitter, right? It's
right.
like that some... that people are going to be too open
right.
and just saying, I'm eating a sandwich,
exactly.
munch,
exactly.
and now I have to go to the bathroom.
Is there such a thing as excellent openness? Right. So that's something we could maybe talk about. I mean, one of the things I was thinking about related to the blog that I had worked on, co-edited with my class over the spring, was cultivating a kind of, I'm not sure exactly how to articulate it, but this was this sort of sense on the part of the students about needing to blog about their experiences. So the reason why they had this feeling was because we had a blog assignment that sort of didn't have specific assignments and deadlines or
mm-hmm.
topics. It was you needed to blog a certain amount of times not even a certain amount of times. You had to be a consistent blogger over the course of the semester, using topics related to the material we were reading or contemporary events and things. And so what some of the students found themselves doing is experiencing their lives with something going on in their mind, saying, well, is this something I could blog about?
Right.
So that
right.
sort of reflective blogging mentality might be, and it struck them sometimes as frustrating, but it struck me as really good. Now mm-hmm. they're thinking about, you know, is this experience something worth reflecting on, and can I put it into words?
Yep.
Right, so that might be something to think. Well, we would need to figure out a name for that.
That's an interesting thing, too, because that's an ongoing dialogue that you're having with the students, even when they're not physically in your presence.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like they're sitting
in
at home.
Head.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little Chris.
Right,
there's a little
exactly.
Chris on the shoulder that's not saying, you know, good or evil.
Right.
It's saying,
is this bloggable?
Is this bloggable? The angel and the devil and the neutral gray Chris philosopher in your robes.
Exactly.
That's what I'm picturing.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. And I believe we're going to post this to your blog,
yes.
Chris. And then people can leave comments. I mean, obviously, if you found this podcast, you probably found your blog. And just leave a comment there, and then we'll respond to it.
That's right. We'll respond to it. And we'll try and put also maybe in the blog post some of the links to some of the things we might have mentioned
today. Absolutely. Okay, great. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.